Hello, lovely people, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Jo, the Autumn Witch, and this week I thought we'd chat about wassailing. So my house is overrun with teenagers of all ages, and GCSE maths and science and homeschooling and all kinds of, well, horrors. I won't soft soap it with all kinds of horrors at the moment. So to get the pod recorded this week, I've had to escape because I can't get 5 minutes in my house without someone clattering around and slamming doors or shouting my name out loud. So I'm sat down here on the beach, and it's pretty grim. It's cold and grey and raining. It's bloody lovely, to be honest. And it's just a quiet 5 minutes of time, but you might hear the pitter-patter of raindrops in the background. So I apologise if you're getting a little bit of ambient noise. Right then, this week on the pod we're going to talk about wassail. So if you've listened to me before, you know I waffle a lot, and but you also know that I don't like to prevaricate, but I can get lost around the houses trying to pre-explain what I mean, and you will be pleased to know that this time is going to be no different. So before we get started with me telling you about wassailing, firstly, I'd like to give you some kind of back information about dates and calendars. Wassailing generally takes place on the 12th night, which is the 5th of January. Except it isn't. As a pagan celebration, the 12th night is 12 days after Yule, which is the winter solstice, and that puts the 12th night around the 3rd of January. Except for traditionalists, that's not right either. So you see, the thing is, in 1752, here in Britain, we switched to the Gregorian calendar, which was so named for Pope Gregory the 13th. And we switched from the Julian calendar, which was naturally introduced by Julius Caesar, in about 46 BC. The very, very short story of that is, in switching the calendar, we lost 11 days. There was quite a stir. There was a lot of pitchforks at dawn kind of thing. But it brought us in line with most of Europe. And as time went by, it brought us in line with most of the world. I think most of the world now runs by the Gregorian calendar. And there's only a handful of countries that are left on their own sort of calendar-based time frame, which is Afghanistan, Iran, Ethiopia, and Nepal. But what this means for traditionalists is that the 12th night in the pre-Christian calendar falls on the 17th of January. So you can make of that what you will. And obviously I have thoughts, lots of thoughts, about whether or not you should rigidly be sticking to dates. But I'll talk about that at the end of explaining. Otherwise you're never going to get to hear about wassail because I'll just waffle on. So wassailing is the old pagan rite of visiting orchards and blessing the apple and pear trees for a good harvest. And wassailing has been documented since 1752. But any celebration, dance, or joyous activity in any form was strictly prohibited under Cromwell's rule of Britain. And anything, any kind of joy, really, that involved music or dance and just basically having a good time was severely punished across Britain and the British Isles. And it means that there's this break in history of precisely what was recorded, what old traditions were all recorded, what, you know, regular everyday activities. There is a break. So because he tried to, Cromwell tried to eradicate. So, and it left for a real kind of bleak, joyless, sort of soundless period of quiet. And, well, I suppose it's sort of funny, isn't it, when you think about what we're all living with now, these feelings of repression. But moving on. So after Cromwell's death, there was a real resurgence in the old tradition, and wassailing was one of them. So wassailing, or howling as it's sometimes known, it varies across the counties here in Britain about how it's done, and it is still practice here. And it suffered something, suffered is the wrong word, isn't it? But it suffered something of a revival in the West Country, towards Devon and Cornwall, Somerset, down that way. Because the West Country here in Britain is pretty much the cider capital of the country. And it's very much part of the, it's woven into the tourist industry of Cornwall, and it's where there's kind of surfing. It's a holiday destination here in the UK. It's beautiful, beautiful little countryside, sea towns, really lovely. And wassailing is something that they've kind of woven into the tourist experience. So, but the practice is that the old tradition was the revellers would gather with pots and pans, and they'd make all kinds of noise, or a hullabaloo, which I believe is sort of partially where the word came from, hullabaloo. And they'd visit the orchards. The revellers, they'd visit at night carrying lit torches, and they would weave between the trees, shouting and banging the pans, scaring away the bad spirits. The orchard owner would be so grateful, and, you know, clearly not at all ticked off by these noisy people coming in at all hours of the day and night, that he would come out and reward them with a cup of warmed, spiced, what is now cider and always cider, and I think it pretty much was then, but in some locations across the country it would be like warmed wine or warmed beer. It would be alcoholic and with lots of spices, cinnamon, nutmeg, star anise, that kind of thing, slices of, you know, dried orange. And the orchard owner would bring it out in a wooden polished communal bowl known as the wassail cup, and the revellers would kind of have their own cups, and they'd dip into the big bowl and they would drink, wishing the orchard this bountiful harvest in the year ahead. And as they rounded the tradition up, they would take a drink in their cups and pour it onto the roots of the trees as an offering to the spirits, to the gods. So it's one of those things where you're paying thanks, really. You are honouring the land and the spirits to look out for the harvest and the seasons and the weather and the rain, and, you know, you are basically trying to show the world, the universe, that you understand the connection between humans and the place that we live. So one of the other forms of wassailing was to do this loud and noisy routine, but instead of going to the orchards, as you know, especially people from the villages moved into the towns and the towns became cities, they didn't want to lose their traditions. So they'd do the same thing, but knock doors instead. I don't know that I'd like that lot on my front doorstep, but there you go. So wassail is thought to be a mix of the old English word washal, which means good health, with the idea being that the tradition is that you'd go and knock the doors, or as you walked up the drive to the orchards, calling washal, washal, they'd know that you were coming, that it was good health. I'm sure it being slurred into one word, wassail, has got nothing to do with the fact that they'd drink and get merry all the way round, and by the end it was just wassail. But there you go. The tradition of door knocking for alcohol has pretty much evolved into what you now recognise as Christmas caroling. So you can kind of make of that what you will. But this coming Sunday is the 17th of January, which in the old calendar is the 12th night after solstice. It's a time when the revelry of the Christmas season, the Yule season, comes to an end, and we look to the coming year. It's when we look and are trusting of good crops and are hopeful that the final months of winter aren't going to be too harsh. And this old practice we can adapt for our personal path too. So you can, this coming Sunday if you want to, using cider, beer, or, you know, black tea, the trees will like all of them, and go out into nature and pour it into the roots, into the earth, and give thanks for the year that you've had, that we've got through it, and that you are honouring the coming year ahead. And if your neighbours aren't too close and they don't mind, you can clap or bang or sing or shout and drive that old energy away, drive the old year. Because that's what revelry does. It lifts us up. And I think we are living in a time when it feels like this life at the moment, it's happening to us. And we have no control. We have no choices, even over our small daily actions. And this is one of the ways how I'm adapting my practice, that it means I can actively do something about my feelings of frustration and sadness and overwhelm. And I thought it was worth talking about wassail today, as maybe it's something you'd like to have a go at. It is a time when we do feel oppressed and repressed. And I don't know about you, but I miss loud music and concerts and busy pubs and restaurants and the sound of kind of cutlery and plates and going out and the large kind of happy conversations that swirl around you when you're at these events. And this is just one thing that we can do to try and combat those feelings of isolation, because I think that's what this pandemic is doing. It's making us feel isolated. So if you fancy driving some of that old energy away, this is a way you can have a go at it. But as is also my way, I want to get my disclaimer in. So I'm not a stickler for celebrating everything at the right time. As a history grad, I think that sharing the information today about how and when we changed calendars gives detail to wassailing that highlights the potential for fluidity in when we celebrate things. So the mix of days that you can celebrate wassailing because of the change in the calendars and how we lost 11 days and all those things, it means to my way of thinking that it's not when we celebrate something. It's not even how. The point is that we make time in our lives to remember the old ways and adjust ourselves to some of the kinder and slower ways of the past. But in doing this, we can also adapt and modernise these old traditions in a way that they'll continue to grow and evolve with us as times change. So you can celebrate wassail tomorrow. But you know what? If you feel down in 6 months, you can celebrate it then too. If you feel up in 9 months and you've had a really good crop of flowers or tomatoes or anything in the garden, or you've enjoyed something particularly outside in the fresh bright air and you want to give thanks, then the trees won't mind, the universe won't mind, it will still feel that joy. And it's something that I harp on about all the time, and as I go on to talk and cover the Sabbats and kind of explain them to my way of thinking, I'm doubtlessly going to go on and on about it's not how or when you celebrate. So I apologise, but expect to hear more of this from me. It isn't the fact that we celebrate on a specific day, and it isn't the act of celebrating, to my way of thinking, that makes something reverent. Our soul, our essence, the thing that makes us who we are, coupled with our sentient thoughts, it's somewhere in a mix of these two things coming together to focus on something specific. That is where magic comes from. That is where power and manifestation comes from. It's that completely focused period of time when we stop and take a breath and consciously push energy out into the world. That is what gives any act the fuel to get it off the starting blocks. And this goes the same for honouring and celebrating the Sabbats. So, of course, there's joy and excitement in planning a beautiful celebration. And of course, a group of people getting together and combining their energy is a fabulous and wonderful way to connect. And the power feels amplified. But there is also wonder and strength behind a quiet mind who manages nothing more simple than a deep breath of air on a chill night and acknowledgement of the wonder all around them. And that's my disclaimer. your path is fluid. That's the beauty of it. You're not curtailed. So those are my thoughts on wassailing and how you can possibly change it up and use it for yourself, or keep it the same and use it for yourself. So in the coming weeks, I've got a couple of topics that I'd like to talk about on the pod. The first one is overwhelm, and it kind of seems pertinent really for me to talk about overwhelm on the back of starting to talk about different celebrations and different practices, because I don't think there's any difference on if you've been raised in a religious and faith-based upbringing, or if you've come from an upbringing with no influence of faith or religion. I don't think there's any difference in when you look at paganism in any form. It can feel brand new and overwhelming. It's easy to get lost in the feeling that you don't know enough, that you might be doing something wrong, that you're not doing something right, and that you've suddenly got to start studying this whole new faith, spirituality-based path, and it can feel unwieldy. And it's really easy to let those feelings of overwhelm and anxiety scupper you. It's the concept that we need to know everything straight away can literally freeze us in place and stop us moving forward. So next week, I'm going to be talking about how to manage these feelings. I'm also going to talk about how to simplify how much you feel like you should study and how much you feel like you should learn. And also, I'm going to be talking about how much money you should be parting with. Because as you can imagine, I have huge, huge opinions on spiritual gatekeepers who take money to validate themselves. So, you know, stick a pin in the notice board for that one. The idea of coming to paganism because you feel called to it, it should be a joyous process and it should feel like a homecoming. And if you're constantly berating yourself with all that you're not doing, you're not going to get to enjoy that. And it will leave you with that constant sensation that you've got homework persistently hanging over your head all the time. And really, those feelings they're a writer's guilt trip, as well I know. So overwhelm, we're going to look at that. And we're also going to look at small bite-sized things that you can study, as well as giving yourself the opportunity to look at what you already know. So next week's going to be more kind of instructional with some things to do. Following on is going to be a topic, well, we're going to talk about falling through the gaps of maiden, mother and crone. Now, I was talking on YouTube about different things concerning my own path last week, and I've got these kind of slightly mixed up feelings of empty nest syndrome at the moment, which is weird when I've got my teenagers, everyone's homeschooling, but it'll come up in the pod when I talk about it. And a lovely viewer left some comments, she left thoughts in the comments box about how she's struggling too with where she fits in. And the three aspects of maiden, mother and crone are foundational archetypes of paganism and witchery. But that doesn't mean that we are always going to fit neatly into one of those three moulds. So I'm going to be chatting about how we look at these three roles, how they convert to the masculine, and what happens when we feel like we used to be one, but we're not quite yet the other. So that's what's coming up. And if you've got any comments or questions or topics or anything that you'd like me to cover or anything like that, you can leave me comments here on your platform of choice, because I think the podcast goes out on Spotify and Amazon and Google, and it goes out to all the places, I believe. But I'm also on YouTube. I have a private Facebook group where we talk about witchery and paganism, and I'll transcribe this episode and I'll pop it up on the website in the blog section in case you want to read it or anything else. And I'll leave all the links to that below. So take care, everybody, and stay safe. And I will speak to you all next week. Bright blessings.